Well, you know, we have a guy on the line now who probably does treat it as something quite social, but I think there's a bit more to it than that. Let's just hold on a second now. Here we are. Here.
What we did was took a computer simulation of
Tim, there you are. Come on.
Ran it billions of times and sort of asked a simple question for each of the different properties that you can acquire in the game, which ones sort of give you your money back the quickest.
Yeah.
And from that, we came up with, you know, two or three rules of thumb, I think, that can help, any player. And the first and most important one was the railroads are really the best properties to purchase, especially if you can get three or four of them.
Okay, so you buy up them first. What's second?
Yeah. Second is that there's the string of properties between Go and free parking. Those four color groups actually give you the best return on investment of all the properties on the board, especially the orange set that's on the far left corner by free parking.
Okay, so the one nearest the free parking, in other words, the furthest of those four, if you like.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and but like, I mean, you should see, and you say buy a house, not a hotel.
Yeah, so really the third rule of thumb to keep in mind is that at three houses, you're getting your best return on investment. So at any of these properties, if you get to a point where you have three houses on each of these properties in your monopoly, then stop and probably begin to develop properties elsewhere. So four houses and moving to a hotel don't help you as much.
Right, okay. So what was the one key thing, Tim, that you needed to know to develop this winning strategy?
Well, I think the important thing to keep in mind about the game Monopoly, which one of my favorite games, is that there's an element of luck, there's an element of people skills, and then there's sort of this sort of mathematical component. And so
sure.
The only thing that we were able to analyze with the computer simulation was the mathematical component part of it. So you get these two or three rules of thumb that sort of will help you win most of the time. But, you know, the real important part of the game is, you know, the dice rolling in your favor and being able to trade effectively with other people and other players, you know, the other players. So it's easy for me to say it's best to own all four railroads. But often to do that in a real game, you have to be able to make the trades with the other players that, make them think that they're winning in that trade just as much as you are. So
right, of course, or be lucky to land on them all the time and have the money to actually buy them. Okay, so
yeah,
if you buy the cheapest properties first, they'll give you a steady income, they'll allow you to buy up the more expensive properties later on, and other obvious things. Now, but how did you come up with the actual strategy itself?
Well, it was really just coming out of that computer simulation. So we, you know, the computer simulated a number of players playing this game with the community chest cards and the chance cards and all of that, and just and looking at for each of the properties that you purchased, how many rolls of your opponent's dice does it take for them to land on your property and pay you so that you get your money back, and
yeah.
Which are the properties that make that happen the quickest, and those are basically the orange group, the orange monopoly, and the railroads. And if you get them, especially early on in the game, you like you said, you get that steady cash flow, which will just sort of...
Yeah, of course, yeah. Now, is this strategy always a winner, or is that an impossible thing to ask?
Yeah, it's not always a winner. So I think if you follow these strategy, then you'll win most of the time. And, you know, the times you won't win are probably the times when the dice roll, you know, against you.
Mm.
And these other intangibles that... I think that really makes the game Monopoly fun. So if there was really a strategy that you did every time, you'd always win. I guess it would take away a lot of the magic of the game. So that magic is still there.
And how long have you been playing Monopoly, Tim?
I've been playing it all my life. I love the game, but
so I presume then you've used this strategy yourself. And I have to be asked, has it been successful? I mean, like, are we talking from experience here?
Yeah, so I think like most Monopoly players, you play for many years, you begin to sort of implicitly understand that there are these type of strategies sort of work, and I think that was true for me. But it was great to sort of see it proved in this sort of mathematical context. But yeah, when I do are able to use this strategy effectively, increases my chances of winning.
Okay, well, you've been playing Monopoly online. I can only assume that it's the exact same thing for playing Monopoly on a board game to use this strategy, yeah?
Yeah, I would actually, personally, I prefer the board game. And I think it's great that you're doing a show about board games, because it's really the sound of the dice rolling on the board and the feel of the paper money that is completely missed when you do these when you do computer games. And so it's that's my favorite part of it, actually.
Okay, but a lot of work goes into this. You come up with this strategy, and you know it's your strategy. Were you at all reluctant to reveal this and have other people use it?
Yeah, it's a funny question. Not at all. I think. From my point of view, I just really enjoy sort of figuring out what makes things tick, whether it be Monopoly or you know, any number of things. And when I kind of, you know, get to that level of understanding, sharing it with other people is part of the fun.
Okay, and, but like, you've gone like with other strategies, finally, Tim. Like, what's this about the edge and the kind of echo effects that he uses with you too?
Yeah. So to say first of all, I'm a big fan of you and your show, because I'm a big U2 fan, and we get the interviews that you do with the band over here on American Radio, and have a lot of good memories growing up listening to them. They used to play them before the concerts were broadcast. So thank you.
You're very welcome, Tim. But what have you done? Yeah. Like, what exactly have you done in terms of kind of plunging into the darkness of U2 and all their tricks and finding out how the edge does what exactly?
Yeah, well, I'd be a bit reluctant to sort of on Irish radio to pretend to be an expert on U2, of course, but it was the same type of analysis, and then I did this a couple years ago and also posted on the web, and it was basically as a guitar player, I wanted to sort of find out you know, the details of the echo effect that Edge uses on his guitar, and how he used it and when he used it, and how it sort of colored the sound of U2, and I spent probably a few months just listening to U2 recording slowed down, and you know, listening for, you know, and calculating how he was using it, and then I kind of synthesized that into a handful of rules that other guitar players can use to sort of get a bit of that U2 sound as they sort of make their own musical compositions.
Right, very good indeed. Okay, but if anybody else wants to check out what Tim is talking about, Monopoly or otherwise, it's Tim Darling, and the address, the website address, is www.amnesta.net/other/Monopoly. We put that up on our Radio 1 website. Thanks very much indeed, Tim. Good man yourself. Take it easy. And Niamh is here still, by the way, from the Arts and Hobby Shop in the Omni Centre in Dublin. Now, Niamh, just talking about Monopoly there and this guy and his strategy, etc.